Welcome back, everybody. It's time once again to get on board, grab your gear as we take to the road and ride along with those riding the e-bike revolution. As always, we're going to talk to the entrepreneurs behind this movement, and most especially the ones we really love to talk to, the love stories of those just riding along. Like our guest today, hey, welcome, if you will, from up in the Sacramento area, Ted Dooley. Hey, Ted.
Hey. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you seem like you're a pretty passionate peddler here. Am I correct? Are you somebody that likes doing this, I guess, huh?
I really, really do. I've liked biking all my life, and Pedigo has just changed my later life here.
Well, you mentioned your whole life. You're like me. You're of a certain age. You're around that retirement age here. I'm still going, but you got smart and decided to call it quits. What'd you do all those years? You did something in insurance or something, didn't you?
Yeah, I was in the insurance industry all of my career, and the majority of that was in operational leadership. So, I hate to say managing people, but leading people, developing people, large back office insurance operations.
You were at one point senior vice president of operations for some big, was it insurance carrier or broker?
Well, I was with carrier for a long time, and then was with an outsourcer for about 17 years.
So at some point you said, done enough, going to take time to kick back, enjoy life a little bit here. And what did you do when you retired? What did that next phase look like? Was it everything you wanted, or did it leave you saying, I got to find something else?
Well, I already had purchased my Pedigo.
Oh, you had? Okay, all right. I thought maybe you discovered it afterwards. But
yeah, right. No, I had been looking at them for a couple of years and actually would have bought sooner before I retired, but injured my back, and long story short, I had to wait. But anyway, I bought a Platinum City Commuter and just love it. And I think that has been the top thing in my retirement. That just it's like a job.
Yeah.
I get up and ride my bike.
It's changed everything. Right.
Yeah.
Well, and you said that before this, so I guess you had been looking at them for a while. Looking at my notes here, it said you had pretty much dog-eared the Pedigo pamphlet for a while here. This was sort of on your horizon. What kept you from doing it when you were working? Was it just, I'll get to that later, or was it some other hesitation about, not just a Pedigo, I'm saying about anything, but getting an e-bike at this point in your life?
Yeah, I really, it would have been hard to do that while I was still working. I was traveling a great deal from California to Minnesota and spending a lot of weeks there. And so it just, and then when I got home on the weekends, and the last thing my wife wants to see me do is walk out the door and go do something else.
Yes, so, exactly. Right.
And so, I just decided to wait till closer to retirement.
So you needed a block of time. And once you had it, you already kind of had this in mind. Now, once I retire, I got time. Some people say I'm going to take a travel trailer and I'm going to go around the country, have one of those on. Some people say I'm going to take more trips. Some people say I'm going to spend more time with my family or kids or whatever. For you, you saw the bike is going to be part of this retirement journey early on, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, travel is big on our list for retirement. But along came something called COVID,
which kind of
shut all of that down for the most part. And so the bike has, really taken center stage. And it's not just the bike, it's everything that goes with it, new friends, leading rides, doing things like that. So it's been kind of all consuming. I also like to fish too and have a boat. It hasn't been in the water now for about, since I bought my bike.
There you go. And that's what surprises me, because I always thought of bike riding. I've said this on other shows. I'll say it again. I always thought of bike riding as sort of a solo activity. At least it was when I was in my 30s and 40s. And maybe because I was doing it, I thought, for exercise. And so I'm trying to push myself. I'm doing it at odd times of the day, early morning, late at night, whenever I could fit it in. And I wasn't looking to do it as a group. I know there are people that do that go on long bike rides. But for me, it was sort of like a stationary bike. That's why I tried the stationary bike, too. It was just a way to get some exercise and to pedal and push myself a little bit. I think that's why it fell apart, though, because doing these things alone, doesn't seem to last too long. And what's it been for you? You say you found new friends, you found a whole community, really.
Yeah, that's true. You know, most of my life, it was solitary solo riding for me as well. My wife's never been quite as enthusiastic.
Yeah, right, nor mine, right.
And there have been a few times when, you know, I rode with some groups and things, but mostly it was solo. Exercise and just fun getting out. Mm-hmm. But since getting the Pedego, it's anything but. I mean, I took a few solo rides, and I couldn't get through a 20-mile ride because of people stopping me going, oh, is that an e-bike? What kind of e-bike is that?
What
How
is
far
that?
Can you go on that? How long does the battery last? What kind of motor's it got? Do you like it? And as you can already tell, you can't shut me up anyway. And now ask me about something that I love and I'm becoming passionate about. And so it's just kind of...
So you found yourself an unexpected ambassador, not just for this brand, but for the whole lifestyle that goes with it. It reminds me of, we talked about, see, from, you go back to Minnesota. I was born in Minnesota and then lived in Michigan most of my life. So I understand that Midwestern mentality back there. And for me as a kid, it was all about having a boat. In the winter, it was a snowmobile, but in the summer, it was a boat.
Exactly.
And we were talking offline, kiddingly, saying, you know, it, be careful what you wish for, because it wasn't just the boat. When you had the boat, then you had to get the water skis, and then you had to get the vest, and you had to get the this and then that. Pretty soon, you're tricking this whole thing out, and it's a lifestyle. You got it isn't just because you've invested so much into it. You get consumed by it. It becomes all-consuming. Is that the way riding an e-bike is?
Yes, it is. It is. Whether you go out and ride 2 miles, 5 miles, 30 miles, 40 miles, it is that. It's so much fun. It is so freeing.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I'm in good health, but I do know other riders that really have some issues with either walking or hiking, et cetera. But they're able to get on that bike, and they might not ride a long ways, but they're able to get on that bike and be free for a little while.
Yeah,
and
absolutely,
some fresh air and see some wildlife.
And to get out again, we've had so many people. I don't know if you've listened to many of our shows or all of them, but we've had some really heart-wrenching tales. I think of Dr. Feelgood up in the north end of the valley here in Southern California. Terrible car accident, and she was just couldn't even ride in a car, sit in a car. And for her, the e-bike was a way to get out and start biking again and to get comfortable being on a road and not frightened that she's going to get hit or killed or crash. I mean, this is hard stuff, but it was a mental barrier as well as a physical barrier she had to go through. And she says without an e-bike, she would have never attempted it, nor would she have ever succeeded. So that's pretty amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe it's the age, not quite sure what. But it just, e-bikes, and especially the Pedego brand, just lends itself to people wanting to get together.
It does.
And ride together and talk about the bikes together. And, you know, and it's just a phenomenon. And I don't know, I guess it could be something else. My wife doesn't ride much. She's got her textile stuff, you know. And does the same thing. Same group every week, you know. So there's just something about it. I don't know if it's our age or what it is. That Pedego is a catalyst.
I'll tell you, part of it is
bike and meet people that you would have never thought you would meet.
I think part of it is because the old, and I'm not going to sound too down here, but the older you get, the sort of the more isolated you get. You know, people leave, and you know, friends I have passed on, or other people. You know, your tribe starts to shrink a little bit. Kids move away, people move away, things happen. Especially if you're not working, I think your social circle shrinks dramatically. And I think this is a way to combat that, and to give you a whole new tribe, a whole new pack of people. Well, it certainly worked with you because, am I correct? You bought this up in Sacramento from the guys. I think they were our first dealer, one of our early dealers up there, and they were struggling to put together consistently, to tell all these stories consistently and to bring people together. They're out pushing, peddling, selling the product here. And there are people that want to say, but let's organize a ride and let's get together. And like, well, we'd love to do that. But, you know, who's got the time and energy to do that? Talk about that. They sort of pulled you back in. So you're like Michael Corleone from The Godfather. Just when they think I'm out, they pull me back in. You thought you were done with work. All of a sudden, you got pulled back in to do what for this store up in Sacramento?
Yeah, it's Godfather Part Two all over again. So yeah, I bought my bike from Tim Castleman, mm-hmm. and Tim's son Cassidy. Years ago, when he and Tim opened that dealership,
right?
Cassidy did all the. He was kind of the marketing planning guy and did all of the bike rides and tours and all this kind of
exactly.
stuff. Well, he got Don stole him away and took him down south.
Down to the corporate headquarters. We've had him on one of our early shows. He does that for Pettigo now. Yeah, works
absolutely.
With dealers. Yeah.
And I think that just kind of left him without someone. And as he told me, he had tried very unsuccessfully to hire someone, mm-hmm. pay them to do this, mm-hmm. and just couldn't find it. So, you know, in I walked saying, well, why don't we have group rides? And he said, well, why don't you schedule them?
How don't you put them together? I'll be happy.
And so I said, well, you know, I'm not working otherwise. Why not? You know, and it's just a labor of love now. I absolutely love it. We schedule weekly rides. We've been having weekly rides since last May. And then we have a separate Facebook page for the Sacramento area Pettigo owners.
Okay. What's that called? Let's give it a shout out here.
Yep. It's the Sacramento area Pettigo owners group on Facebook.
Okay.
And so I've become the moderator of that. And in fact, one of the things Tim wanted to accomplish would be to get more people into our Pettigo owners group locally.
Absolutely.
And we were successful in adding 73 new members.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And
that's
awful. Yeah. So we're, you know, we're just having a ball, you know.
So talk about the rides you're putting together here now. You're doing this, first of all, because you're passionate. Second of all, because you want to meet all these people. And third, you're like, well, go to the dealer. Why don't you guys do it? Well, we'd be happy to. Why don't you help us here? And all of a sudden, you got pulled back in, and you're having a ball running this group and organizing these rides. What am I correct? You did 24 different rides or 29 different rides in some period of time, in a six-month period or something?
Yeah. Once we started them, we had rides weekly. We missed a couple of weeks due to weather. Mostly heat and smoke up here.
Smoke.
We rode, if you collectively look at it, we rode about 2,600 miles.
Wow.
Which is
2,600 miles. That seems unbelievable. You're not all 20 years old here or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's, you know, there's 8, 9, 10 people generally on a ride. I think we had 14 one time. Sometimes we have a couple of rides. We had one rider, me. Nobody showed up.
Yeah, right, of course, right.
And I'm like, oh, my God.
Ride must go on. Let's go.
Yeah, this thing's going to fall apart. But then the next week, 10 people came. So, yeah. And, you know, you mentioned sort of this earlier, but that bike is an equalizer.
Yes.
And these people that come to the rides, we're about all the same age. I'd say give or take 10 years. We're mm-hmm. all roughly the same age. A lot of retirees. Some come as a couple, husband, mm-hmm. wife, you know, husband, whatever. Some come singly because their spouse or they've lost their spouse. They don't have anyone to
ride
with. Some are short, some are tall, some are fat, some are skinny. And, you know, it's an equalizer. We all ride the same ride, and we kind of gear the ride to, and I don't want to use this word, but the least rider, whoever's maybe the least experienced.
Exactly.
Or maybe doesn't want to go 15 miles an hour, really only wants to go 10 or 11. Everybody's.
Right.
Everybody's open with that. So we gear it so that everybody's having a good time. And the whole goal is to have fun. We say this every week, is to have fun, to be safe, and just have a good time. And so far, you know, it's been that.
And I think that's been one of the differences I've seen between the Pettigo riders groups that I've seen versus the kind of traditional bike riders group where it's all about whoever is holding them back sort of gets cut out.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want you anymore because we want to go 100 miles and you poop out after 50 here. So please don't come anymore here.
Yeah.
It's always about that trying to be this ultimate expression. And here it's about, let's just have fun. And if she can't sit on the bike for that long, then we won't ride that long. Or if he can't push that far or can't, it gets poofed out, great. Just we're glad that you just came. Get out again.
Yep, and that's kind of the way we've structured the rides. Number one, we're lucky we have a lot of great bike trails here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put a lot of emphasis on we like to ride the bike trails almost exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
You have to cross the street or whatever, We want to get up one that's controlled, but,
right.
you know, and we do that. We stop frequently to get off and, you know, sort of rest the backside.
Or have a little cocktail or maybe, or a little little nibble of something. And
Yeah, that's after the ride.
Okay.
We have some libations after
some adult beverages, as my friend used to say.
Yeah. And those are sponsored, by the way, by Tim, our
Oh, can't beat that. I'm definitely riding along then.
Yeah, I take in a whole bag full of receipts, and he hands me a whole bunch of money.
Wow, you got me there. You had me at hello. You had me at free cocktail here.
Yeah, and we spent some time learning the history of where we're riding, because there's a lot of really historic areas, old railroad bridges, all these kinds of things. And so during the rides, we'll share a little history. We have a pair of nesting bald eagles around one of the lakes, and we always stop if they're in residence and see them. So try to make it interesting. You know, it's beautiful to begin with, just beautiful countryside we're riding in. But we try to, you know, make it a little something for everybody.
And let's give a plug. We don't get any endorsement from any of these groups, but I'm fascinated by some of these aftermarket products. You mentioned a particular brand of helmets, Sena helmets. I'd never heard of before, S-E-N-A. And they have nothing to do with Pedagogo, where they're probably going to be thrilled we even mentioned them on the show. But that they have a, I guess they're one of these brands that allow you to talk to each other during the ride, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they go back a ways. Motorcycle helmets and ski helmets, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But yes, they make this line of bike helmets that have a mesh network. They have an app for your phone. It's all Bluetooth.
Wow.
So you can, and it has voice control, et cetera. But the great thing is that people with similar help with the like helmets, you can have a lot of people all on the same channel, and you can talk throughout the entire ride.
Well, I'm going to tell you something better you should do, not just talk to each other. You should listen to the Pedagogo podcast.
Well, that's a good idea, but we'd have to synchronize on that.
Exactly. Well, I just throw that in because, like, we had somebody else on where they talked about something looked like a big sun hat, a woman, and she showed a picture, and she said, well, that's actually a helmet, and you all guys seem to know the name of this brand, too, whatever that's called. And there's all these aftermarket products. That tells me this is more than just this is a movement. This isn't just some little small thing. When other companies start jumping in and accessorizing, offering aftermarket add-ons, that tells me this is really taken off.
Oh, yeah. Bikes and bags and dog carriers, kid carriers.
So we're talking about,
different kinds
baskets
of homes,
and
all the clothes. You know, I mean, you can wear jeans and a T-shirt, or you can wear some fancy padded pants.
Get the gear, the cool stuff that goes with it, and
Absolutely.
Well, you sound like somebody that's totally gotten into the lifestyle here. What is it that you think? What would you tell somebody who hasn't been on it when they're thinking, listening, and saying, "This guy's crazy. That's not me. I can't do that." What would you tell them?
Well, and I do it pretty often.
Okay.
Talking to people outright.
You're experienced at this, right?
So,
what do you tell people?
So I say, look, you know, whatever brand you're going to buy or think about buying, go ride one. Go ride them. And that's another beautiful thing about the Pedagogos. Every Pedagogo dealer has a rental operation.
Yeah. I think that's been the key to the success. Not just that they're there to service them, that you're not just buying it through the mail, right?
Exactly. Who's going to buy this kind of, or spend this kind of money and not have ever ridden it until it arrives at your doorstep?
Yeah, right.
So that's one thing. I just don't, go take a ride, take a 15-minute ride, and you'll know right then whether or not this is for you. And I'd say 80% of the time it is. They love it, you know.
And the test is whether or not, apparently, you go, wee, when you get on the bike.
I don't. You go, you know, it's like the little piggy, wee, all the way home.
Yeah,
know?
Right. I never thought of that. Right.
That's exactly what we do. And then the other, you know, the other piece, just plug in Pedagogo again, but the other piece is, you know, you've got Pedagogo dealers all across the country and new ones all the time. So, oh, well, what if I take my bike to Denver? Okay, well, I'm sure there's at least one dealer there. Well, what about Las Vegas or Nashville or Louisville or Charleston? Or I mean, they're everywhere. And And, you know,
and apparently you go visit them. Apparently you're not. I say this week after week, and everybody writes in and says, why are you so shocked at this? And I said, because, again, if I bought a Buick, I'm not going to stop at the local Buick dealership in Detroit or in Pittsburgh when I travel through town. I'm just not. And he'd look at me like I was crazy. But you apparently are another one of those crazy Pedego owners that stops in at the local stores.
I do. I stop in to see if they have a personalized hat or T-shirt or whatever.
Oh, a patch. They should all have a patch. Like, and then there you go.
They should.
Yeah.
I have a button back here on my bulletin board here that's from the Nashville Franklin Pedego. And that's a prize, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, we say that. So I've already scheduled some vacations this year, and I have 5 rides set up. Throughout the Southeast.
I don't know if Don's listening or not, but if he is, there's an idea right there. Every Pedego dealer should have a pin or a patch, and then you collect them. Like, I knew people that went to every Hard Rock Hotel in the world just to get the pin from that place.
Absolutely. I've got a couple.
There you go. And then they display them in a case, or they put them on their jackets and stuff here. So as you drive around, imagine, like, you know, all these people, like travelers in the old days used to put I don't know, sort of stickers on their luggage. You know, I've been to Brazil, I've been to Boise or whatever here. Right. You could do that. There you go.
Well,
we got a whole other idea.
Already started the pin thing. There's when you get your Pedego, there's a Pedego Owners Group pin.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a mileage pin. So when you get 100 miles, you get a 100 mile pin.
Here I am doing the Pedego podcast. I didn't even know that. Yeah.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And so Tim turned over the pin business to me, so I carry them in my Pedego bag, by the way, on my bike, and so I present them to people on our rides.
Cool is that?
I had a gentleman last week, he had just hit 100 miles. I presented a 5,000-mile pin about a month ago, so, yeah, and so we take pictures.
And do people get excited? I mean, these are people that spent a couple of grand probably on a bike. You would think they wouldn't care about a pin, but apparently they do.
Oh, yeah. And that Pedego Owners Group pin was a little scarce for a while. Oh, my goodness. If you could get your hands on one, you know, people just loved it. So, and I like it. I have a bag on the front of my bike. It's a Pedego bag, by the way. And so I have the pins that I've earned so far on that bag. But people put them on their helmet straps and on their jackets.
So let's go one step further. It isn't just a mileage pin or a membership pin. It's actually a visitor's pin. You collect these as you ride around the country, and maybe there's a prize to whoever collects them all or something. Or I don't know.
That's what we need. In fact, my hat here is from Boca Raton.
Boca, we just had him on last week, Boca Raton.
Yeah, I couldn't find these hats anywhere, and so I put it on Facebook. I said, has any dealer got any hats? And then immediately somebody, wasn't a dealer, somebody went, oh, yeah, I got mine at Boca. So I called them up, you know. Oh, yeah, we'd be happy to send
you. There you go. Oh, my goodness. If only, I can't get my head around this. Every week I'm still going to be amazed. People who buy a product go visit the dealers in other countries and other cities.
Absolutely.
Never heard
of
it.
Absolutely. I can't wait. And you get to see their area.
Yeah.
And you know, I heard the couple from maybe it was St. Louis or anyway.
I think it was St. Louis. They talked about different trails, the rails, the trails
exactly.
And stuff down there. Right.
So that's what's so cool. You can roll into town.
Right.
You can rent a bike like you already ride or similar to what you ride at home. So you're familiar with that. And then they're going to tell you all the best places to go.
They're going to tell you where to go. Never occurred to me to go.
I rode with Stu Noland in Louisville, the owner there. He took me out for half a day's ride around Louisville.
Because you got instant friends wherever you go. You don't just have the safety and security of knowing somebody can take care of your product there, but somebody can. You got a group to check in with. You got a group to pick up their pin and to ride along, an instant pin pal. And all these different places. Well, I think that's an amazing. I just get such a kick out of this show and talking to all of you guys here. Everything you're doing. I just got to quit working and get out on the road with you guys here. That's clear.
You do. That'd be great. Maybe you can come to some of our paloozas and ride with the group.
I would love that. Well, I'm sure we're going to do some, as this podcast progresses, eventually we'll get out on the road and do some on the road, particularly as COVID loosens up here. We'll do some recordings out from different places or capture some stuff and bring it back here. I look forward to think of that. Maybe you could... bring us some more stories. I'd love to hear the kind of people that are riding through your store here and who are riding through your group. I bet there's some amazing tales in there.
Oh, it is. There is. Very much so.
Well, I hope you'll come back and share some of this. Thank you so much for joining us. Ted Dooley, who is tooling along up in the Sacramento area and having so much fun. He's now organizing rides and collecting pins. He's doing the whole thing here. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Well, there you have it. Another great reason to ride along with us each and every week as we continue to explore this ever-growing e-bike revolution and the crazy love stories of those just riding along right here in Orange County's only community radio station, octalkradio.net. Streaming live from our studios here at the University of California Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center on the Pedego podcast, brought to you by Pedego Electric Bikes.